We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Daryl, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Daryl. John Dorsey, man, every single question, got to be more consistent. Got to be more consistent. Can you be specific? Got to be more consistent. Is that frustrating? For you?
I don't know. I left that press conference thinking they were 4-2 instead of 2-4. Well,
maybe 6-0.
Yeah.
Well, what's, in fairness, I was just saying how Freddie's not done a good job, but he's not going to say the coach is doing a bad job.
No, he's not. Yeah. Absolutely not. But still, I mean, it would have been nice if, you know, we could have gotten some constructive critique there. I don't want to hear how great the guy's game plan and game management is when every freaking week we're pointing out stuff that Kitchen screwed up.
Yeah, that's fair. I was surprised nobody asked him about what happened with the Austin Corbett pick in that press conference, because Austin Corbett came up and he didn't comment on him as a failure there, and it wasn't followed up. Which, you know, we all miss questions sometimes. What are you going to do? But I know it drives me crazy at the end of interviews when I forget to ask a question. But this guy drafted him 33rd overall last year, and now he's gone for a fifth-round pick in 2020. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him away. They got him out. I'll give him credit in the sense that he saw the light real fast that there wasn't going to be much there. You know what I mean? And then it was time to move on, if you will, and just kind of get out of that. One of the big things that I really took away from is that he's going to try and improve this offensive line. Whether he's able to twist Bruce Allen's arm enough like he was able to do with Dave Gettleman in the Odell Beckham Jr. trade, because for months, you know, Dorsey had heard, hey, OBJ's not available, and Dorsey just kept bludgeoning him with phone calls until Gettleman said, fine, the hell with it, here, let's just do it and get it over with so you stop calling me. I don't know that Bruce Allen's going to be as receptive to that, but it seems to be that maybe Dorsey's trying to apply a similar tactic in this regard. They certainly could use Trent Williams, there's no question about it. He was very if there was one thing that he was critical with his team this afternoon, Bull, it was the offensive line and especially the play of his two tackles, Chris Hubbard and, of course, Greg Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's as critical as he gets by saying they need to be more consistent.
Right.
I guess that was his way of being critical, and he made it clear that he's working the phones.
Yes.
You know, the report yesterday out of Washington was that the Redskins are not interested in moving Trent Williams. You'd think they would be at the right price.
Yeah.
And I said yesterday that I think a first is too much to give up, but I admit today that, you know, in the end, if that's what it takes, if you feel like he can stay healthy at 31 when he hasn't played a full season in 6 years and the fact that he hasn't been on the field since December is not a problem, then in the end, you probably do it because they need the help on the line.
Yeah, it comes down to the compensation, Bull. This is part of where John Dorsey has to do, as he said, by right, what's in the best interest of the Cleveland Browns. You and me just talking here, we can sit there and say, yeah, sure, absolutely, they should do whatever it takes to get Trent Williams out of Washington or wherever he's been hanging out while he's been going through this holdout. That's easy for you and me to say, but the reality is Dorsey's charged with managing the roster and the cap and the assets, namely the draft assets. It's a little more complicated than just that. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, it's about the compensation. You know, could he get away with maybe a 2 and a sweetener and a player or something? I honestly believe that that type of a structured trade would fit Dorsey's wheelhouse more so than giving up the 2020 number one pick. And as I tweeted yesterday, that just doesn't strike me as something Dorsey is anxious to do, considering he didn't have a first rounder this year. I can't see Dorsey wanting to go back-to-back drafts without first-round picks. I can't see that. That's why I think maybe a two, a player, a pick sweetener in there somehow. Would Washington listen to something like that? But as you noted, all appearances right now are that, you know, Bruce Allen doesn't want to listen to any conversation about it.
And while I agree with you that ideally you wouldn't give up a first-round pick, I think we'd both admit that in the end, if they gave up a first-round pick and Trent Williams plays like a pro bowler, it will have been worth it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah. But there are two issues here. One, if I remember correctly, I think he's got this year at like $10 million, and then next year I think is like 12 and change, something like that, under contract. And obviously the reason he's holding out, he wants to be paid as the top left tackle in the game. You know, there's salary cap ramifications there, Bull, that Dorsey's got to consider. The injury history, the fact that he is 31, going to be 32. Do you want to make that type of investment? So there are some things here that you have to consider. Again, the emotional reaction to this for you and me and fans is do what you got to do to go get the guy and shore up your offensive line. We're in win-now mode. The team is ready to win today. But again, Dorsey has to look at this more from an intellectual, analytical standpoint, and that is he's got to make sure that it's his job not to give up too much, to make sure that making a trade for him, and if you extend him, that it doesn't negatively impact your ability to keep Myles Garrett and then extend Baker Mayfield and extend other players that are younger and going to be coming off rookie deals that he sees as corner pieces that he wants to maintain going forward. So that's a tough juggling act for Dorsey, but hey, that's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Yes, he does. We're talking with Dangerous Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. Okay, so he was critical of Rob. He wasn't asked about Kush, but Kush has probably been even worse than Hubbard and Robinson, who haven't been good. I wonder what if they did acquire a tackle, do you think they'd move one of the current tackles to guard? Do you think they would just bench Greg Robinson or Hubbard, or what do you think they would do?
Yeah, you know, that. I mean, it's great to speculate about something like that, and quite frankly, I don't know what they would do. Now, remember, they made a couple of trades before the cutdown at the end of August where they brought in a couple of interior offensive linemen. So the question is, you know, are one of those guys ready to step in? And even if you don't make another move here, Bull, do you just go ahead and take Kush out of the lineup and put one of those guys in? These are decisions as they go through their self-scouting that they're going through this week that they're going to have to kind of, you know, figure this thing out. But, you know, Wyatt cost you a fifth and a sixth round pick next year. And then they also made a trade, I think it was with Buffalo, too. So for another guy. So they got some things that they've got to kind of figure out here with this whole offensive line and what they want to do coming out of this bye week going forward.
I think the other trade, wasn't it with Green Bay?
Yeah, Green Bay, I'm sorry. Right. Wyatt came from Buffalo.
Yeah.
It was with Green Bay.
So yeah, for McCray. For
McCray. So,
right.
Brain cramp on my part. But yeah, so they got to figure that out, what they want to do with that line, or do they just maintain the same five guys that they have right now?
And again, to be fair, if you look at it, they've played well in two of the last three games. They played well against Baltimore, and they played well against Seattle. The line was And in my opinion, outside of the Niner game, the line hasn't been a massive issue, but it can be upgraded. I think they have, like I said before, I think a lot of fans think they have a terrible offensive line. I think their offensive line is below average, but if you can improve it, sure, you do it. And that's an area where they can improve.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's clear. The number one thing that came away from this press conference is the fact that John Dorsey is active on the phones right now. Trade deadline is, what, 13 days away?
Yep.
October 29, 4 p.m. He's trying to make something happen to make this a better football team for that stretch run, which, as he indicated today, he's very confident that they're going to be able to make one of those spectacular runs down the stretch and into December to get themselves into the playoffs and accomplishing the goals that they have. And as Demaryius Randle told us today in the locker room, those goals are to win the division and host at least one playoff game in January by doing so.
Darryl, you mentioned Demaryius Randle. You know, now that it looks like you're finally going to get your corners back for the Patriots game, mm-hmm. which is great news, But now Randall saying he might not be able to play almost 2 weeks before that game. What happened to him at the end of the game, and how likely is he to play against the Patriots?
Yeah, great question, Bull. Don't have an answer, quite frankly, and I'm not dodging it. We asked.
I think you're dodging it. I'm just kidding.
When we spoke to him, he said, quite frankly, I don't know what happened. I've watched it a couple times. I still don't know what happened to me, but he is dinged up. I believe it's a leg injury. That's at least what it looked like on tape. Late in Seattle, as someone told me today, he gutted it out. He struggled to finish that game on Sunday, and whether or not he's actually going to be healthy enough to play against the Patriots on October 27 remains to be seen. And quite frankly, I think Demaryius Randle's one of the most important people in that secondary. With all due respect to the two guys they're getting back in Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward, I believe that Demaryius Randle is, quite frankly, the centerpiece to that secondary.
Yeah, I mean, it will be good to have the corners back. To have a shutdown corner like Denzel Ward back in the lineup would be huge, especially against Tom Brady. And, they've struggled a little bit lately. Right now on the roster, you're one man short, obviously, with the trade. We know the Browns are working the phones. Also, I believe they have 7 wide receivers on the roster, which I don't see the point of that. I mean, how much is Kadarrell Hodge or Tywan Taylor going to play? So they certainly have some roster flexibility here, Darryl.
Yeah, and I just, as you said that, I just did the math. Yes, they do have 7 receivers. You're 100% right. And right now, I mean, Higgins didn't play the last 2 weeks, even though he said he could, and especially did not play against Seattle, which, made us all kind of scratch our heads, what's going on here? So, and even he is scratching his head, saying to himself, what's going on here? So,
well, speaking of that, Darryl, let me interrupt you, because on Monday, Freddie Kitchens said, he's coming back from injury, but he said we did have a series of plays for him, but that circumstance never came up. Then Tuesday, he kind of contradicted himself when he said, we just thought he should sit another week because he was coming back from injury. So I would say, what's with the contradiction? And number two, why, if you were not going to play him, why was he active?
Yeah. Let's see. How do I say this? I have a theory that I'm going to keep to myself. But
I got to know this theory, Darryl.
Well,
you'll have to tell me off the air.
I'll tell you off the air, but right. Because it's unfounded speculation on my part, that's not fair to our listeners. But,
okay.
I don't know. It was bizarre that he's one of Baker Mayfield's security blankets, and I realize we've had the conversation. If you need that guy on the field, with having Jarvis and Odell, that there's a problem. But the fact of the matter is that the chemistry between those two is pretty real. 41 completions in just 14 games, that's a lot of work between them. You know what I mean? So, maybe there is a little bit of a negative effect. I don't know. But it was bizarre that he's active, he's healthy to play. Freddie said on Friday leading up to the game that if he was healthy, he was going to play. And then they don't use him. And they use Antonio Callaway, I think it was like 47 snaps against the Seahawks. And this is a guy that the week earlier struggled to line up, was coming off a 4-game suspension, was coming off a high ankle sprain during training camp on top of that. And he was more, it was more. And then the flip side of that is maybe Freddie learned his lesson that, he rushed Callaway and put too much on the plate, and he didn't want to make the same mistake with Rashard Higgins. So I think that there's a couple of different directions you can go and speculate as to why Rashard didn't play on Sunday, but it's still a little bizarre to me, quite frankly.
Dangerous Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, is with us. Anything else that we didn't hit on out of Freddie or the players you spoke to today that is worthy of note?
Yeah, well, I thought Joe Schobert had, and it's in my notebook this from today, I thought Joe Schobert presented a rather reasonable solution to some of these officiating issues that are out there. I like what he had to say. Kind of make things a little more public in regards to, discipline for the officiating crews that make those egregious errors. As Schobert told us, hey, we as players, if we make mistakes, it's public. That we got fined, or if there's any other additional discipline that comes down to it, we'll find a way that's reasonable and within whatever with the league and the officials, referees association or whatever, but find some way to have some sort of an accountability that people can see, okay, this crew or this official made an egregious error, so he was disciplined in the following manner so that it doesn't happen again or something like that. I thought it was a pretty intelligent and well thought out idea that Schobert presented today. I doubt it's going to go anywhere, but I really liked what he had to say in regard, because we're sitting here screaming and yelling every week about the officials and not just Browns games. This is, and I've said it, it's a league-wide problem, both the officiating in the National Football League for the billions and billions of dollars of revenue the league generates. Just it's not on par with what it needs to be. And part of that's because a lot of guys, the really good ones, are in broadcast booths right now on network television as analysts. They've had a lot of guys retire, but they got to find a way, whether it's making more guys full-time, have year-round training, whatever, they've got to find a way to fix this officiating problem, especially with the prevalence of gambling and sports betting that's becoming a nationwide thing. It's no longer under the table, if you will, or in a back room. It's legitimate, legalized betting. And it not only do you have millions of dollars on the line in that regard, but you have coaching jobs on the line. You have players' jobs on the line. Just the NFL's got to address it. And I really liked what Schobert had to say in regards to that today.
All right, Darryl. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Okay, sounds good, Bull.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.